Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
God, where would we be without your word? Without your voice. The voice of your word, that your word has a voice and it speaks to us. We thank you, Father, for sending your word, the living word that dwelt among us, that tabernacled among us. And the disciples said they beheld the glory of God. They beheld God. They saw the word made flesh. Father, we thank you. Your word is alive. It's breathing.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that you honor the prayer of your Son and you sent us Holy Spirit to teach us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We want you to be our teacher. We need to be taught.
Yes.
We need to be taught.
Yes.
Give us understanding today. Help this word to go, that hit the mark inside of us, Father, and that we bear fruit with it. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about the last time I was here about how Matthew 13:52, to be exact, the New Living Translation says, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. New gems of truth as well as old. So we spoke about how God has given us revelation in the past that we could look at as being an old gem of truth. And then the new revelation that God gives us as we are in his word, because we need to be growing in the revelation knowledge of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of who he is, right?
Yeah.
And God could have downloaded every bit of the Bible in us when we got born again.
Mm-hmm.
He could have downloaded all the revelation we will need, but he chose for us to seek it out. It says it's the honor of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of a king to do what? Search it out. To search it out. So this is an old gem. I'm ministering this morning on an old gem, an old treasury that everyone in this house has heard something preached on this passage. It's it's 2 Chronicles. I do have it marked, I promise you. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But I'm not going to go there right now. But it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20 on Jehoshaphat when he sends the worshipers out to praise. Now, most of us can honestly say that's an old gem, right?
Yes.
Amen. We've heard that teaching. And if you'll just bear with me, that's what I mean by an old gem. I know the meaning of that is far more deeper than that. Mm-hmm. But the way I relate to it is that it's like an armory. Or as Jesus said here, it's like a homeowner who brings out old treasures from his house and he brings out new treasures, okay? Both are important. Both count. Both mean something. And we also talked about a couple of weeks ago that sometimes the Lord will take you back to the old gem.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to revisit it because he has a new revelation even in that to give you. Is that right?
Yes,
yes it is. Yes, it is. So this morning, this is an old gem of truth, and we're going to talk about mercy this morning. We're going to talk about what mercy is and why did God put it in the heart of his servant to say this is what the strategy is. They won't go out, we're going to praise God for his mercy. Why did God do it that way? I thought we're going to have a little bit of insight to this. Of course, the Lord always knows more about it than what we know, but we search it out, right? We search it out. Okay. First, let me read for you Psalms 107, but certainly turn there if you'd like. I'm reading this from the New King James. I happen to kind of like how that reads here. I didn't get this I didn't look that up in the Passion, but in the New King James, Psalms 107, verse 1. I found out something new about mercy that I didn't know. It's an old gem. Praising the Lord for his mercy endures forever. But even in that, I found a new truth. I found a new revelation that I personally didn't know before by searching it out, by going back to the Hebrew and searching out the meaning of the word. So this old gem today is that we need to remember it's God's mercy that endures forever.
Yes.
It is God's mercy that never fails. We need to focus in, and this week, if you will do this with me, I want to encourage you to get out the Psalms and sing every psalm. Doesn't matter what tune you put it to, but sing every psalm out into the atmosphere, into your home, over your family, over those you're interceding for, to sing psalms of mercy, to tell God how great His mercy is, how wonderful His mercy is, how much you depend upon His mercy, how you cannot live without it. Praise God for His mercy this week. I know that it will cause some things. It'll do a shift in your life. I know. You know, Carmi shared with us a little bit, and we're still developing some of this, about the Hebrew year.
Amen.
5780. It's the year of the mouth.
Yes.
It's the year of the mouth. And a holy fear needs to come on us about our mouth.
Yes.
A holy fear. As a matter of fact, this would be a great time for me to go ahead and release the blessing. I know I'm backtracking here, but bear with me. I'm going to go ahead and release a blessing. So hold your place in Psalms 107. And if you want to turn to Colossians 3, verse 17, that's our blessing for this week. This is the year of the mouth. Okay? There's a lot more to that than those words I just said. You're going to hear a sound from heaven. You're going to hear that sound in your inner man. It's going to be a song that's going to rise up within you. It's going to be a sound. It's the sound of God, and it becomes your sound. Listen, this is the sound I heard when I was praying and interceding or just meditating on some things this week. This is the sound I heard inside of here. I heard this sound. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
That's the sound I heard in me.
Amen.
That was the sound of God,
yes.
And that needs to be the sound that comes out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just this is the year of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Hear the sound of God.
Yes.
Hear what God is saying, and let that sound become your sound.
Yes.
Let that be what comes out of your mouth.
Yes. Yes.
You know, 2020 in the natural. In the natural is perfect vision. You want perfect vision? You want perfect spiritual vision?
Yes.
Then hear the sound from heaven and speak only what God. You wake up in the morning with a song.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the night, you'll have a song. God will give you a song.
Yes.
I've been hearing this song. You are good, and your love endures. You are good, and your love endures. You are good, and your love endures. Today is when I need it. Today is when I need the mercy of God. Today is when I need it. So that's what I'm saying. You'll hear a song, but let's go ahead and release this blessing. It's Colossians 3:17, which I'm going to speak it, and then I'm going to declare it over us. This is the Passion Translation. Let every activity of your life and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The Anointed One. Drenched. Drenched. Every word be drenched. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Jesus has done for you. This passage convicted me. Because I praise God for a lot of things, and I thank God for a lot of things, but how often do I just, God, I just praise you for what Christ has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we do that? I praise God for help. I praise Him for my children.
Yes.
I praise Him for you, for the body of Christ. Yes. How often do I just say, Lord, I praise you just because of what Christ has done for me.
Yes.
That convicted me.
Yeah. Yes.
I said, Lord, I am convicted. Please forgive me. So this word we speak, we declare of ourselves as a body. Father, as a body of Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will let every activity of our lives and every word that comes from our lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. We will bring you constant praise, Father God, because of what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
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 That's your word this week to meditate on. But let's get back to Psalms 107, verse 1. I'm so excited. Holy Spirit, help me to contain myself so I can make it clear, not get ahead of myself. Here's the New King James is how this reads. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
Amen.
God is still good, y'all.
Yes.
God is still good.
Yes.
His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now, we're going to stop right here and look at this because I dug a little deeper to find out just what is mercy. Just what is mercy? When the Hebrew, it's number 2617, and it means kindness. By implication, it means something directed toward God. It means piety directed toward God. Now, what is piety? What is piety? Piety is a quality or character of being reverent to God. It's a devotion to God's holiness or the goodness of God. Y'all, that means something. Now, we're going to have to meditate on this. We're going to have to meditate on this, okay? Mercy means it's, by implication, is toward God. That's why they said, praise God, for His mercy endures forever. When you're praising God, you're directing it toward God.
Yes.
And you're saying, God, you're saying, Lord, I have this devotion to Your goodness. Oh, come, oh, don't shout, church. Mm. Please don't shout. Mm. Please, I insist. When you're saying, praise the Lord for your mercy endures forever. His mercy is directed toward God.
Yes.
It's directed toward God with a piety. God is holy. And you're saying, God, I have this reverence for your holiness. I have this passion for your goodness. I'm going after your goodness, God. It is because of this passion I have for your goodness, God, that I'm praising you in this situation for your mercy, because, God, I know I will see your goodness.
Yes.
Are you getting it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Praising God for His mercy is so deep. It means, God, I'm praising you because I have this passion. I have this driving passion to see your goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I have this driving passion, God, to see your goodness, God. In everything.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. I never knew it like that before. It's a devotion to the goodness of God. I'm devoted to God's goodness.
Yes.
Stop it. We need to stop and think about that. Am I devoted to God's goodness? Do I always go around having a message of gloom, doom, and despair? Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. Gloom, doom, and despair. Yes, I know that difficult times come in life. I am not saying that. I'm not being foolish. I know that. But do I have a gloom, doom mentality of God? Or do I have a passion to see God's goodness?
Mm-hmm.
God can turn anything around, God. Y'all, He can turn anything around for His glory. Yes, He can. He does it all the time. If God is good, God is good. God, I believe this will turn out for my good. All things work together for the good who love God, who are called according to His purpose.
Yes.
That means it might not be working good right now, but it will turn out for my good. And what we can say to God is, God, you promised.
Yes.
Lord, you promised in this that I would see your goodness. David said, I would have lost hope. I would have given up if I did not believe I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I don't need to see the goodness of God when I get to heaven. I'm going to be with goodness.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen.
I'm going to be with goodness.
Yes.
I need to see the goodness of God right now in the land of the living.
Yes. Praise God.
That's what the psalmist meant when he said, praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever.
Yes.
God, I have this passion to see your goodness in everything, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.
I'm not giving up till it turns out for our good.
No.
No. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and makes known through us the fragrance of the knowledge of who He is.
Amen.
Amen. What does that mean? I love what Marilyn Hickey said. I cut my teeth on Marilyn Hickey's teaching when I got serious about the Word of God. She says, it's not over till I win.
Thank you.
It's not over until... Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That means He shows me off as a trophy of victory.
Amen.
For His glory.
Amen.
For His glory. My Lord. It's not over till we win.
Amen.
It is not over until we win. Your victory is my victory. We ought to take the situations that people go through, you ought to take it more seriously because, yes, you know what? We're the body of Christ and we're one. Your situation is my situation.
Mm-hmm.
My situation, your spiritual condition is very important to me because,
yes,
I'm connected to you.
Yes.
I'm connected to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm. Okay, so here's another definition of mercy.
Mm.
Oh, this could it get any better? Yes, it does. It gets gooder and gooder, Harris. It's good, 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 Harris. It's good, good, good. Okay, so mercy number 26:17 comes from a root word. Well, let me go back. 26:17, I got so excited about that other definition, I didn't finish it. 26:17 is kindness by implication toward God, a piety or a quality or character of being that is reverent to God, has a devotion to the holiness or the goodness of God. Y'all see, worship God in the beauty of holiness. Oh my, thank you, Holy Spirit. Does not mean do not wear pants to church and God do not put on makeup and wear earrings.
No.
Worship God in the beauty of hope. Worship God in His mercy.
Yes.
Worship God in the beauty of who He is. In His mercy. God is mercy. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy means beauty, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord for you are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord for you are kind.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. You're saying praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for your mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord for your kindness endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
Praise you, Lord, for your beauty endures forever. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Lord, for your favor endures forever. These are all the definitions of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, beauty, favor, good deed, loving kindness.
Yes.
I praise you, God, for your favor toward me in Christ Jesus endures forever.
Amen.
I am your favorite. You, God, I am your favorite child. You can be his favorite too. That's only God can do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
God has lots of favorites in this room. Mm-hmm. Only God can do that.
Yes.
That's what makes him God. I am his favorite child, and you can be his favorite child at the same time.
That's right.
He's got enough of favorites to go around.
Amen.
He's got enough of favor to go around. Okay, it comes from another root word, 26:16. It means to bow the neck only.
Wow.
Come on. To bow the neck only. Not the whole being, but just the neck. In courtesy to an equal.
Mm-hmm.
To bow the neck only.
Mm.
In courtesy to an equal. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
God, I am not your equal.
Yes.
But God.
Bow.
You do bow your neck.
Bow.
Come on, come on. You have chosen to bow your neck to me in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You ever greeted someone along the way, you're walking along the way, and you go,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To an equal.
Yes.
God says, I bow my neck.
Yes.
He will not give any man his glory, but he will share his glory. No man can take his glory, but he can willingly share it or give it as he wants. You can't take it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he will share it and give it. And isn't that beautiful? That's what we pray. When you're interceding.
Yes.
When you're standing in the gap. God, I praise you that you are bowing your neck. Oh, church, please be quiet. Please let me do it all. I insist. When you're interceding for someone, Father God, when you're saying, Lord God, your mercy toward this person just forever. You're saying, Father God, you're bowing your neck. You're bowing your neck to an equal in Christ Jesus because of covenant.
Mm. Mm.
Because of covenant. Because of covenant. God, you're bowing your neck. Okay? When someone's walking along and you greet them and you're like, what do? You just acknowledge them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're interceding for someone, you're saying, Lord, your mercy toward this person endures forever. God, you acknowledge them. Come on, the spirit realm. You need to do it. You need to do it. Lord God, I thank you that you are acknowledging them. God, you're hearing their. Do you see how this means so much more? God, you're acknowledging them. You do it with your neck. God, I thank you, God, that you are acknowledging them. You're seeing them, God.
Yes.
You're paying attention to their requests and their petition, God. You're noticing their need, God.
Jesus.
God, because we have a passion to see your goodness, God. We have a passion here, God, to see your goodness. What?
Oh, praise God.
James said, I won't let go of you until you bless
you
me. I won't let go of you until you bless me.
Oh, what a privilege. Oh, God. How much he loves.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Hallelujah.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say
so.
Say something.
It's goodness sake.
My God, this is what the Lord demonstrated His mercy toward us in Christ Jesus. Romans 5. We have a reason to praise God for His mercy. We have a reason to know that God is bowing His neck in courtesy courtesy to us and calls us an equal. God calls us an equal. How could He do that? How could God do that? I think that's important. Romans 5. Passion Translation. Romans 5. Starting at verse 8. You don't believe God bows His neck? You ought to read this.
Yes.
If this doesn't make a believer out of you, then we're just going to keep on digging until we can get you to believe. Romans 5, verse 8. No, we're going to back it up. Then we're going to verse 6. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate His love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, who of us would dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place. That's why He will bend His neck to an equal. Christ died in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of His unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight.
Amen.
If that's not bowing the neck. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. If you lean totally on the sacrifice of Christ. And live in that sacrifice. Understand what the sacrifice meant, what it did for you. So if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Oh, Selah. So if I was God's enemy and He reconciled me to Himself through the blood of His Son, then how much greater than friendship is ours? You know what He's saying here? Scarcely you might think about dying for a friend or a noble person, but you wouldn't dare think about dying for a wicked person. So if God died for you while you were wicked, then you have something greater than friendship with God. Well, I'm not making it clear. I'm not making it clear.
Oh, Lord.
What could be greater than friendship with God? You have something greater. This something greater than friendship is ours. Why? Because I wasn't a good person when He died for me. I was a wicked person when He died for me. And a friend will die for a friend, so we got something better going on than a friendship. Because I was wicked when He died for me. Oh, my. Now that we are at peace with God and because we share in His resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. So that is, thank you, Father, for what your Son Jesus has done for me. I praise you, God, for what your Son has done for me.
Back to Psalms 101. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has rescued from the hand of the enemy. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Wilderness is a place of trouble. It's not a good place. They wandered in the wilderness in desolate way. They cried, I believe they cried out for mercy. He's talking about mercy here. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. They cried out, Lord God, have mercy. Lord God, have mercy. Lord, bend your neck, God. Bend your neck, O God. I have a passion for your goodness, God. Because of Christ Jesus and the covenant I have with you, God, bend your neck toward me, God. And let me see your goodness and your favor in this, Lord. And what did he do? He led them forth out of the wilderness by the right way. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for habitation. He just didn't lead them out of the wilderness. He brought them into something good. Something new. So it's not just God delivers us out of trouble. He brings, when God delivers out of the wilderness, he always brings us into something better.
Yes.
Always brings us into something
yes.
better. A habitation, a place to live. You can't live in the wilderness. You can't survive in the wilderness. The wilderness, I might go there. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. This mercy has twofold. Mercy means it's twofold in its definition. Turn to 2 Chronicles 20, 11 through 30. If we thought it couldn't get any better, it's going to get even gooder, Harris, gooder. Twofold mercy. There's twofold sides of, let me tell you something. When you're standing in a situation where the enemy has come against you, whether it be in your body, whether it come against you with their mouth, whether it come against you in your finances, whether it come against you in lies, whether it come against you in conniving and devious activity against you. How in the world how it comes. When you stand and you praise God for
yes.
his mercy and you ask God to bend his neck towards you in Christ Jesus, remember his covenant.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It is twofold. God is going to deliver you and your enemy's going to get right with God or they're going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Amen.
They're going to get right with God or they're going to be destroyed. It's twofold. So mercy is just like, well, God is a merciful God. If God were a merciful God, why did God allow this to happen? Well, let me ask you something. As a parent, do you always do the right thing?
No.
Why did you allow that to happen? You were the parent. Why did you allow that to happen? You're going to point your finger at God. Point your finger at yourself first. We start pointing your finger at somebody else for what they did wrong. Look at you. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacon. I did say deacon that time and I didn't say the other word. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacon. But it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. When Isaiah ministered to the people about fasting, he said, put away from you the pointing of the finger. Put away from you the pointing of the finger. Look at you. Look at you first. Look at you. Yes, God is a merciful God, but God's mercy requires vengeance when vengeance needs to come against his people. God's mercy requires vengeance against the enemy. God is not against flesh and blood. God wants all flesh and blood to be delivered. He demonstrated that through his son. But there are some people that are not going to bow. If you're standing in the way of God's plan and you will not get right with God and your heart is still hardened against God and you still in God's pleading and being forbearing, there comes a point when God says, the cup of my wrath has become full. It has come up
yes.
to me and this cup is full and it's time for it to be tipped over. I have been forbearing, I have been long-suffering, but it's time for the cup to be tipped over. And there is a time when God will
tip it over.
When God will take vengeance against his enemy. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He certainly doesn't want the righteous in the middle. That's why we're not supposed to be in any kind of unholy covenant or agreement or any kind of agreement whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's why you need to be careful who you agree with. Any kind of agreement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not supposed to go into any kind of agreement with anyone as a believer that is not a believer.
Mm.
In no way are you coming into covenant with them in any way about anything. How can light and darkness walk together?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Or even a believer that's in deception.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's brethren that aren't.
You better know them.
Yes.
You better know of them before you come into covenant with them.
Yes.
But Dean, you have something to say. You had your hand there. You sure? Okay. Okay. Let's go to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 20, an old gem, but oh, it is so good. You ready? Second Chronicles chapter 20.
Okay.
Oh, everybody's familiar with this old gem. I tell you, but it's rich. It is rich. It happened after that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. People that are enemies sometimes will join forces to come against, but Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is on Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers," come on, bring God into remembrance. If you think like this word that Dolores has been speaking out of her mouth, it's not that God has forgotten, but if you think God has forgotten, did you hear that? It's not God has forgotten, but if you think God has forgotten,
yes,
then bring him. See how merciful, kind God is? Bring him into remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?" Covenant. Reminding God of covenant. He's reminding God of covenant. "And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary. For your name, saying," here, back up. "And they dwell in it, in this land, and they have built you a sanctuary in it for your name."
Mm-hmm.
For your name. For your name,
yeah.
Not their name.
Yeah.
We're not built, the church that the Lord's going to build, it's not for anybody's name.
Yeah.
It's not for any man or woman, anybody to get glory.
Mm-hmm.
It is for his name. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
It is for his name and only his name. That's why how's your church? It's not my church. You better thank God it's not my church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I try to be nice when I say it. I try to be kind when I'm saying it. But it's no man or woman's church.
No.
It's God's church.
Yes.
You mean the fellowship of believers? You mean the Lord Jesus? The church of the Lord Jesus is God? It's not a man's church. I know it's just something religious that we say, but it doesn't make it right. "And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, such as a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." "And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out to the land of Egypt. They came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them." In other words, God, we showed them mercy.
Mm-hmm.
"Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." 2020, perfect vision, spiritual vision. "And now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon
to Haziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the midst of the congregation, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, God spoke something through him. He heard God. That's what happens when you prophesy. You hear God speak it. Yes. You hear God speak it, and you speak what God says.
Yes.
Okay? So here is the mouth. Here's the mouth of God. Here's God's word. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he said, verse 15, listen, all of you Judah, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Just stop it for a minute. This is written in the New King James. You don't, when you're prophesying, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-mm.
That's because it was written in the King James. That don't make it any more holy.
That's right.
The Lord's going to speak in a language through you that someone's going to understand.
That's right.
Okay?
Hallelujah. He's going to speak like
that. That doesn't make it any more God.
That's right.
Any more the Lord. That's why it's safe to say, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I believe. I have an impression from the Lord that this is what He is saying. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Amen. I learned that from one of our former pastors, and it was wisdom. Okay, here we go. And He said, listen, all of you Judah and your inhabitants, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, for thus says the Lord God, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours,
Amen.
But God's.
Amen.
Y'all, that hadn't changed.
Yes, that's right.
Y'all, that hasn't changed. That has
yours.
Not changed. If we belong to God, if we belong to God, we are His property.
Mm-hmm.
We're His possession. It is His battle.
Yes.
It is His battle. They're fighting against God. When they're fighting against you, they're fighting against God.
Yes.
Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. Look at God is showing them exactly where they're coming up. Here.
Yeah.
And you will find them at the end of the brook. You will exactly where you're going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go up. They're going to come up this way. And you're going to find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. Jezreel.
Jezreel.
Okay, thank you. Jezreel. You're going to find them before the wilderness of Jezreel. You will not need to fight in the battle. You will not need to fight in the battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the
Amen.
Lord who is with
Jesus.
You. See, this is prophetic.
Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
Ah!
Your position is in Christ.
Yes.
Don't.
Jesus.
The enemy, as much as it's hard for us to believe, the enemy is not after our wealth.
No.
He's not even after our health.
Mm-hmm.
What can he do with good health?
Nothing.
What can he do with material possession? He is after your position in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is what he tried to usurp when he said, I will ascend to the high and be like the Most High God,
mm-hmm.
who was made in the likeness and image of God Almighty, his Son.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to usurp Jesus' place of authority.
Yes.
The enemy is after your position in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's after getting you. That's what it means when it says stand still. You won't need to fight.
No.
That means you don't need to be anxious and all worrying on the inside about this thing. You don't need to be. You need to stand in Christ. But what the enemy what the enemy's attempt is to do is to get you to react.
Yes.
In the middle of something, if you react, you react and not respond in Christ. There's a difference between reacting and responding. God's telling them how to respond, not how to react. Jehoshaphat had already reacted. He was full of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a good enough sense about him to cry out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And get the people together to cry out to God. Because fear is not a good place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, stand and you will see. Stand in your position. He's
mm-hmm.
prophesying. He, from the Old Testament, prophesying what we know now because Christ has come. Stand in your position in Christ. Do not react but respond and wait on God. Wait till you hear the Spirit of the Lord say. See, the flesh has got to have something to say. A fool doesn't have something to say. He's got to say something. Or she's got to say something. There's a difference between I've got something to say and I just got to say something. So what the enemy wants you to do is to react. Because when you react in the middle of this, yes, training and discipline, is it easy? No. No. But Christ already conquered it for us. No one had to practice this more or harder or deeper than Jesus. And he already practiced it for us. And he lives in us. And he knows exactly how we need to respond, y'all.
Yes.
Exactly how we need to respond. What the enemy wants you to do is to react. Because once you step out of Christ after you, and you react, you get in the flesh, you're going to mess things all up.
Right.
You're going to say something. You're going to get in condemnation. You're going to have to deal with that condemnation. And that condemnation is going to hang over you. And we should have enough faith to believe God. Okay, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me by the blood of Jesus. Get right back. Get right back to that place in God. Don't let the devil beat you up. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So what the enemy wants you to do is to react and not to respond. But the Lord is saying through his servant, stand in your position. You don't even need to fight. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Okay, let's keep on going. Now, I know it's not easy. I know it has to be practiced. I know that. Sometimes you're standing there and you're standing there shaking, but you're still standing.
Yeah. And the Lord says, stand still.
Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm an unclean man. That means it meant he was about to lose his bodily functions. He needed undergarments. Exactly. Tomorrow, go down against them, verse 16. They will surely go up by the ascent of Zin, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high.
Woo! Amen.
They arose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Believe what God just spoke through his servant. Believe it, and you'll have good success. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and you should praise the beauty of holiness. That means you're praising God for his mercy, y'all. There's nothing more holy than God's mercy. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. God set an ambush against the enemy. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount... They fought among themselves. Oh, look at this. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, those that were coming with them originally in battle. They stood up against them to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants here, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there they were, dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil They found among them an abundance of valuable. You're not going to go through anything and stand and stand and endure and take your position with Christ and come out less than what you had while you went, before you went in it, or while you in. You're going to always come out with more. That is the principle of God's word. You're going to always come out with the spoil.
Yes.
You can always come out better.
Yes.
Definitely.
When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of, let's see, that's Barakah. Barakah. You know what that means? It's the Valley of Blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They assembled in the Valley of Blessings. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Barakah until this day, or the Valley of Blessing. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel.
Amen.
And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. That everything in the scripture is written for us to apply to our lives.
Yes.
We might not in the natural go out against an enemy like they did, but in the spirit realm we do. But we stand and position ourselves in Christ and stand in who He is. Then He is the one doing the fighting through the words He puts in our mouth that come out of our mouth, through our praise and through our worship and whatever else He tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever else He tells us to do.
Yes.
He is the one that is doing the fighting for us. My God, my God. Testimony after testimony.
Yes.
Testimony after testimony how God has fought. Lord, open our eyes so we can see, Lord. Open our eyes so we can see there are more that are for us than there are against us.
Yes.
Open our eyes to the spirit realm, God, so we can see and understand that all I have to do is just position myself in Christ's state. Stay in unity with Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. Make Him this, make a passion of my life to believe that I will see the goodness of God in everything, to look for the goodness of God and to believe that I will see the goodness of God. And to know that God will, He will bend His neck. He will bend His neck. Because in Christ Jesus, He has called me an equal. Not greater than Him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You are brethren with Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus is God. Is He not God?
Yes.
He is the Son of God. He is all God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. So this week, I'm encouraging you. I wanted to get the Song of Solomon. That was enough for today. But I encourage you even to... Just tell the Lord how He is good.
Amen.
Just tell the Lord how good He is.
Amen.
Praise Him for what He has done for you through Jesus. Just you don't have to. Just God, just thank You for everything You have done for me through Jesus. Even things I don't even know yet are going to manifest in my life.
Amen.
I praise You for the good things
Amen.
Yet to come. I praise You for the things behind me that are Your blessings. I praise You for the things right now that are Your blessings. But Father, I praise You for the good things yet to come. Please, let's begin to praise God for the good things that are going to come. Let's don't stand here and just wait for them just to drop upon us. Let's begin to praise Him for His mercy, that He has bent His neck toward us in kindness and in favor. God, You have acknowledged us. You have bent Your neck toward us in kindness and in favor, God. And I praise You for the good things that I'm yet to see in my life, in the life of my children, in the life of this body, in the life of this fellowship, in the life of the body of Christ, in America and in the world, God. I praise you yet for the good things that I'm about to see, God, because your mercy endures forever, God. Your kindness, your goodness endures forever, Father. And this week I want to open the Psalms. I want to just sing them as a love song or the Song of Solomon. I'm going to go to the Song of Solomon this week. And everywhere there where the Shulamite is singing to her king, I'm going to sing that to the Lord. Like, Lord, your love is sweeter than wine. Yes. Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for, because it is the kiss of favor, and your kiss is better than wine. You're better than anything this world can. I am your beloved, and you are mine. Lord, bring me into your banqueting table, Lord God. You call me your beloved. You say I have dove's eyes. You say I have no flaw. You say I am perfect in your eyes. You are my beloved, Jesus, and all of you thrills all of me. Jesus, you thrill my soul. You thrill my spirit. You thrill even my physical body. Jesus, all of you satisfies all of me. I am your beloved. I belong to you. Let me sit under your apple tree. Let me sit under your apple tree, Lord, and let me taste from your fruit. Let me taste from your goodness. Let me taste from your mercy. Let me taste from your kindness. Let me taste from everything you are. Everything you are, Jesus. Everything that's about you. I want everything. I want every trait. I want every trait. I want every trait that you possess to be manifested in me. I just want to encourage us this week. Just to sing love songs to the Lord. Just to tell, He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. Praise Him for His mercy. Go to the Psalms. Sing out the mercy of God. Use your mouth. Open your mouth. Just don't think it. Just don't think it up here, but open your mouth and release it. Tell God, God, you're so good to my family. Lord, you're so good to my children. Lord God, fan the flame in them. Lord God, you said that a bruised reed you would not break. You said that a smoking flax you would not put out. Lord God, fan the flame in my children. Fan the flame in them, Lord. Just minister to the Lord. Speak to Him about how good His mercy and His loving kindness is. Praise Him for His mercy and for His loving kindness. Oh, that men would give thanks to God. Oh, that men would give thanks to God because He is good. No wonder Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only my Father, only God is good. God, you're a good God. You're a good Father. Even in the middle of things that we experience and we go through, Lord, you're a good God. God, I have a passion. Lord, I have a passion for your goodness. I believe that in everything, God, I will see your goodness. I will see it turn out for our good, for my good, for your good, for the good of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Will you do that with me this week? Amen. Anybody have anything to add? Hallelujah. And I want to be passionate about anything. I want to be passionate about the goodness of God. I don't want to be passionate about the wrath of God.
No.
If you're in sin, you know you know, Apostle Paul said, don't forget, it's the mercy of God that causes a person to repent.
Yes.
It was the mercy of God.
Yes.
So when you're asking God for mercy for them, you're not asking God, you're asking God for His favor. His favor causes a person to repent.
Yes.
When God shows me favor when I've done something wrong, He does something good for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I have, even Friday I got frustrated at work about something that happened, and I got frustrated in my heart. I was frustrated. Yeah. And then by the end of the day, the Lord turned the thing all around and ended up being a believer that I was helping. And she even said, let's pray that this works. And that light came on the inside of me. I was like, yes, let's pray that this works. And it worked.
Yeah.
And we said, praise the Lord together. And the problem was resolved. It's so much better when we try to work together to resolve a problem. It's still standing on the outside, grumbling, complaining, and being bitter, and pointing the finger, and making accusations against people. Just get in there and make yourself available to help. That's when you become an ambassador of God's goodness.
Yes.
That's when we become an ambassador of God's goodness.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody? Anything you want to share? I'm sorry, I know I'm full. I wasn't here last week and I'm a full cup. I know it. Hallelujah. Anybody want to share anything? Yes, ma'am.
The part when he said to the people, then stand still.
Mm-hmm.
When our enemy come before us and we know God will deliver us, sometimes we not to say anything. Stand still.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is going to fight our battle for us. And he will fight them. And he fight that battle. And then what they do, they come out praising
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
So these are examples for me and everybody.
Yes,
I'm going home and I'm going to read it over because I said God working in my life, that it scares me. It scares me.
But in a good way.
But it's a good scare.
In a good way.
It's a good scare.
Yes. Make sure you have
because, you know, evil is around and God working in my life. And when he don't work in my life, I'll have a testimony.
Amen.
But right now, it scares me to see how God working in my life.
Well, he's working it for your good. Just like he sent someone to cut those trees down for you.
Yes. And it's
and
not only
the cry
that.
Of your heart for a while for those trees to come down.
It's not
praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It's not only that. He said he's coming to put in. I have like 15 tall window.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I coming in to put them in for you. Whether you have money. I say, I don't have the money. He said, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me. How God working in my life.
God is
it
that
scares.
Good. The Lord is that good.
Yes.
The Lord is that good.
He said, and
you're
he said,
by the goodness of
he
God.
Said, next year, you're not going to go out there and cut the grass. I am going to come and cut your grass. You hear? When God working in your life, it reached to a part where it's really scary. Far am I wondering, and must my heart go wondering if he's right? And he's a man of God. Last night my roof was leaking because I put a part of the air condition over there. And when I called him, he said I can't find it. And he searched and he find it. And he fixed it. And then Kiki stuffed the bath up and I never know. And Kiki come out and Kiki talk to him and he fixed it. And he said, Mommy, he said, your faith is good with me. You hear? And he leave. And he leave. I said to Dawn this morning, I said, Dawn, it's scary, but I know it's God. So we have to pray. And I am going home and I'm going to study every word of God. And I'm going to give him the praises.
Mm-hmm.
Know that when I down on my last, he will show up.
Mm.
You hear?
Amen.
He will show up.
Amen.
And he will fight the backers
them. Amen. He is faithful. God,
mm-hmm.
God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else before I close this out? Amen. Well, I'm going to pronounce this blessing that Carmen shared with me, and I'm going to pronounce it at the end so it gets on the video too. This is really good. This is the Aaronic blessing. And I speak this word over all listening by way of the internet and to us and to over the body of Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you presenting gifts and keep you. May Yahweh, He who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, He who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. And may Yahweh be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. May the Lord lift His countenance on you. May Yahweh, who exists, lift up and carry His wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your aid, supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. And may Yahweh, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health,
supernatural peace, supernatural welfare, supernatural safety, supernatural soundness, supernatural tranquility, supernatural prosperity, supernatural perfection, supernatural fullness, supernatural rest, supernatural harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. In Jesus' name, amen.